Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning with Love in Action. I am Ken Tuck. I hope you are enjoying your weekend and having a good Sunday morning. And I appreciate you joining me here on the radio on the Joy FM. I thank God for this wonderful privilege and honor to be on the Joy FM each and every Sunday to share the Word of God, to share what God is doing in our community and throughout the world. And just want to say thank you to Weedman for donating to make this program possible. And once again, thank you to the Joy FM for having us on your airwaves. It's such a blessing and we appreciate you. Let's start out this morning in prayer to our Heavenly Father. And I just want to say, if you ever have any prayer requests, feel free to share them with me. You can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. And I would love to take your prayer requests and pray for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what an honor it is, what a privilege it is to serve you, to just think that you call us your children. And we're your children when we come to you and receive your Son Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. It still blows my mind to just think about that, that the Creator of heaven and earth would love me, would love all of us here in this world so much that you would send your Son to take our punishment so we can come back into fellowship with you. And just thank you so much, Father. God, for those who don't know you, God, there's a saying that people mistakenly say that we're all God's children. Well, we're not. We're your creation. All of us are your creation. But we become your children when we give our lives to your Son, Jesus. And so I pray for those who haven't made that decision yet. I pray today is going to be their day where their name is written in the book of life as they give their lives to you, Jesus. And we thank you that all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. So I just pray that people will make that decision today. Holy Spirit, just convict each one of their needs for you, Lord. Convict each one of their sins and that we need a Savior. And I pray they'll turn to you, Lord. And Lord, for everyone who's a believer, I just pray for a passion and a desire to share you with others. Because, God, that's what you want us to do. You want us to share the good news, the gospel, with others. And Lord, that's the best news that there ever has been and ever will be. And so we should be excited to share that good news with others, Lord. And you empower us with your Holy Spirit, and I praise you and thank you for that. And Father, we just want to give you this time and just ask you to bless it. Father, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct me in what I say. Lord, may it bring you glory, and may it be what you want me to say. And Father, just thank you for each person listening today. You know their situations. You know their needs. You know right where they're at. And I lift them to you, Father God. Lord, for those who need healing, I pray for healing. For those who need financial provision, I pray for that. Lord, those who they're having a tough time in relationships right now. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's brothers and sisters or with their parents or whatever those situations may be, Father God. I lift them up to you. And just pray they'll turn it all over to you, Lord, because you are the God of restoration. And I just pray for restoration. And Lord, each and every need, we put them in your hands. And Lord, those who are having a wonderful day and just so many great things are going on in their lives, I just want to stop and say thank you for that. Father, we need to come to you at all times, not just when we need things, but Lord, to be thankful. And even in those bad times, we need to be thankful. Because, Lord, you're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And thank you for loving us like no other can. And so, Father, we just bless your name. And we want to give you praise, honor, and glory. And just say we love you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, I had my beautiful bride, Martha, on the air with me. And we talked about a new phase of our ministry here at Love in Action, as we have gone through a five-month renovation project to renovate our kitchen and our dining facility, and that we had completed it, praise be to God. And this past week, we opened it up for the first time, and we talked about that. We were so excited about opening it. And after opening and all of our friends coming in, we're even more excited about it. And just want to share that real quickly with you before we get into today's message. This past Tuesday, we opened up the table, is what we call the building that we renovated, the table, and we named it after the scripture in Luke chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus is given the parable of the great banquet, and he says in verse 13, "But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And so that's the scripture that we base that part of our ministry on, because we want everybody to come. Everybody is welcome at the table, because one, we do want to meet that need of food that's out there, and it's a big need. But most importantly, we want people to know that there's plenty of room at our Father's table. So we want to share Jesus with them every chance we can. And Tuesday, when we opened it up and people came through the doors and we sat them, it's kind of like a restaurant where you go in, you sit down, and we serve you. And that part, they really appreciated and really enjoyed that as well. But when they came in and sat down, we had music playing in the background, and then I shared a quick message with them, and you could just feel the Holy Spirit moving. And it wasn't just an excitement that we had, but the Holy Spirit was moving, and five people made decisions to give their lives to Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's what it's all about. One of them wanted to be baptized that day, because I do believe in baptizing. Immediately explain what baptism is all about so people understand what it is, then baptize them. This young man, it was his first time ever coming to Love in Action, actually. And he was ready. He was ready to give his life to Jesus. He was ready to be baptized, ready to turn his life around. And he realized only Jesus can do that. And so it was just an awesome day, and the serving went great. And Brother Chef Mike, he just feels the freedom of being in a big kitchen now. He was in a tiny kitchen for 5 months while we were doing the renovations, and now we're blessed with a beautiful kitchen with plenty of room. And he enjoyed cooking in there, and got to use our tilt skillet. And if you don't know what a tilt skillet is, just Google it. Those things are so cool. I had no clue what it was, but we posted pictures on our Facebook as well from that day, so you can check that out too. And even a video talking with Chef Mike, and he was showing us around the kitchen. But it was just an awesome day. And then also in another part of our campus, in the Compassion Center, where our food pantry and our hygiene pantry, clothes, showers for the homeless, and where our laundry service is done as well. In that part of the campus, lady rededicated her life to Jesus. And so praise God. It was just an awesome day. And God just continues to move and continues to transform lives. And that's what it's all about. We want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through acts of compassion. And we have seen it for 24 years now. If somebody is hungry, they're not really listening to you, because they're focusing on that hunger. So if we're able to help meet that need, and they are feeling satisfied from having some food to eat, actually, and then they will listen to you more times than not. One, because they're not hungry anymore, but two, they realize you care about them. And so they want to hear what you have to say. And then when you can share Jesus with them, it really means so much to them, because they know you're genuine and you're coming to them in that spirit of love. And we see many of our friends, whether they're homeless or whether they're just living in poverty, which so many do here in Dothan, 20% of the population live below the national poverty level. Many of them are believers. And so just to have that encouragement of being around other believers who are lifting them up and encouraging them and helping meet some needs in the name of Jesus, it's so much encouragement for them as well. And then for those of us who are serving, wow, I mean, we get the biggest blessing, because God created us to do good works. And that's why we feel so good when we do. And we're doing those good works in His name, bringing Him glory. That's what we're created to do, is to bring Him glory. And so as we're doing that, just wow, just the Spirit is just moving, and you feel them, and it's hard to put into words the blessings that you receive as you serve Jesus. And so we're just so thankful and so excited. We had some new volunteers join us as well, and we can always use more. And again, you can go to our website, loveinactionministries.com, and check out the weekly schedule, and just really just check out the whole ministry. What we do is a great landing spot for people to check us out and see how they can get involved, whether it's through volunteering, whether it's through bringing different supplies by to donate, or whether it's to donate financially. And, you know, the finances are such an important part, and as we're getting into that summer season where it can really be a struggle financially for nonprofits. We're praying that it won't be this year, and we're just asking people continue to give. And if you never have given before, pray about it. And if God so leads you to, please do, because we need your support. The people we serve need your support. And as we're expanding, it costs more to do ministry. There's more food to buy. There's more gas to put in the vehicles that we take the food out in. There's more as the summer months come, as we all know here in South Alabama. The utility bills go up, and just one expense after another, but it's all worth it. When you see five people at one time give their lives to the Lord, that's worth it. That's worth the building being renovated right then and there. And praise be to God, we are not in debt in that building. That renovation has been paid for, and we give God all the glory for that. And so we just ask you to continue to support. And if you haven't, we ask you to pray about it and come alongside us and help us to continue to reach out to more and more people here in Dothan and in the Wiregrass, because there's so many people that need to hear the gospel. And we think, wow, we live in the Bible Belt. I always call it the buckle of the Bible Belt, because we have so many churches. But there are so many people that are away from church. They're away from God. So many people who just really, they've heard of Jesus, yes, but they really don't know much about him. That's just the society that we live in today. And it's sad, but that's where we're at. And so we just keep going out and keep loving on people. And when we're able to meet some needs that they have, like with food and groceries, and hot meals are becoming such an important need to meet more and more. The 1 in 6 stat that I've used, and you've probably heard a lot, that 1 in 6 people in our community don't know where the next meal is coming from. They call it food insecure, but breaks down to simply not knowing where your next meal is coming from. That number, from what I'm seeing, is increasing. And I'm not going to make up a stat. I couldn't give you a stat because I hadn't done the surveys and everything, but from being out in the community and seeing the needs have definitely increased since COVID. You know, they were going up before COVID, and then that hit, and it hasn't slowed down since then. And so when we're able to go out and meet those needs, we're able to share Jesus with them. Wow, we're seeing people saved. We're seeing lives change. We're seeing people come off the streets, and it's all glory to God. And we just thank him for the body of Christ who joins us to do that. And so thank y'all. And again, go visit our website, loveinactionministries.com. And we have a donation page on there with all the information about how to give at loveinactionministries.com/donate. Or it's on the menu there as well. Well, today I want to talk about that gospel message and want to share a few scriptures with you. We're going to be in Acts. If you're able to turn there with me, turn to Acts chapter 4. And Acts chapter 4 is when Peter and John come before the religious council. There's the elders and the scribes and the Sadducees. They're all there, and they have arrested Peter and John because they were teaching Jesus, teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 5,000 people had just come to the Lord. So the religious leaders were not happy with the apostles, and they had Peter and John, and they brought them before the council there and was questioning them. And Peter in Acts 4:8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man had been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health.'" I just love the account of the Apostle Peter here in Acts, because as we left the Gospels, we see where Peter had denied Jesus when Jesus was arrested and before he was crucified. And then we also read about how Jesus restored Peter, and he is a changed man. And this is another one of those proofs that we can show people. Why would this man change like he did in such a short amount of time if he had not seen the resurrected Christ? And he had, and so here he is. He's talking to these religious leaders who, they were the ones who cast the votes to crucify Jesus and to kill him. So Peter knew very well, so did John, so did all the apostles, that they could be next, that these guys had the authority to have them killed as well. But they didn't care, because they knew Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And even if it cost their lives, they were willing to stand up and tell people about Jesus, even these religious leaders who had that kind of authority. And that just always makes me think, why don't we share Jesus more here in the U.S. where we have freedom to do so? And around the world, we know brothers and sisters who put their lives on the line every single day to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make disciples. Why? Because Jesus is worth it. Because they have experienced Jesus and they're willing to share him with anyone and everyone. And that's always an inspiration to me, a challenge to me, because we read about martyrs in the Bible. We read about how the apostles put their lives on the line to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now today, we still have people who put their lives on the line to share Jesus because they care about whether people are going to hell or going to heaven. And we need to have that same kind of fire, that same kind of passion to share Jesus with others and to care enough about our neighbor, which the Bible explains to us, anybody we come across, where they're going to spend eternity. And when we can share the gospel with them, and it's not just preaching a message. Now, Peter had been preaching, but, you know, it's our daily lives. Everywhere we go, are we showing forth the light of Jesus? Are we sharing a testimony with people? Are we just letting people know how good God is? Are we reminding people that Jesus loves you? I tell you, that is such a simple phrase to tell somebody. And the response is, it'll probably amaze you. If you're not somebody like me who just loves to tell people, hey, remember Jesus loves you. I'll tell that to our waitresses when we're able to go out and eat, or I'll tell that to a cashier, and you'll just see their eyes light up. And many will say, kind of take a deep breath, thank you, I needed to hear that. And it can open doors up to conversations about a relationship with Jesus or just that time of encouraging other believers. And so we need to let people know Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. John 14:6, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. And we see that in Scripture throughout the whole Bible. The Old Testament points to Jesus. And the New Testament, we see Jesus in the Gospels, and we see the Gospel taught throughout the remainder of the Bible. And then we get into Revelation, and we know that he is coming back. And we need to let people know about this Jesus. And in a society today where we have people who they just don't want to believe in Jesus, or we have people who say, well, there's many ways to eternal life. Well, no, there's not. There is no other way to eternal life except through Jesus. And he makes that clear in the gospel. The Bible makes that perfectly clear. And if you need proof other than that, just go to these tombs where these religious leaders were laid to rest, and Muhammad is still in there. Buddha is still in there. You know, Shiva can't save you. No other so-called God can save us, can give us eternal life except Jesus Christ. And you go to his tomb and it's empty because he rose again. He didn't stay in that tomb. He rose again just like he said he would. And he came back to bring salvation to us. He conquered death, sin, Satan, right there when he came back from the grave on that third day, rose again. And we need to get that message out there. So I'm really encouraging believers this morning. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them what he's done in your life. And so many people have not done that. It's hard to understand, but one is people are nervous. They're nervous to, well, I might hurt this person's feelings. Well, we need to think about Jesus. He wasn't worried about hurting feelings. He needed to tell the message because the word needed to go out. His gospel needed to go forth. The apostles, the early church fathers, they wasn't worried about hurting feelings. They wanted to tell people about Jesus because salvation and leading somebody to Jesus is so much more important than hurting feelings. And when people hear the gospel message and receive it, they're so thankful that we took the time and risk to maybe hurt their feelings, to tell them about Jesus. And in our society, we're so concerned about hurting feelings. And there's a proper way to share. The scripture tells us to be humble as we share. And we need to be humble. We need to show respect to people, but we need to let them know about Jesus. We need to let them know he is the only way. We see that right here in this chapter as we pick up in verse 12, where Peter says, well, let's go back to 11 where I left off. Verse 11, Peter says, talking about Jesus, he is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. There's scripture fulfilled right there. And then in verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name has been given by which we must be saved. So we need to let people know. We need to let them know about this Jesus and let them know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who suffered a brutal, brutal execution for you, for me, for the sins of this world, to give everybody who's ever lived on the face of this earth an opportunity to receive Jesus. That's phenomenal. That's amazing when we think about that. In other religions, we have to climb the mountain, so to speak, to get to God. And we have to do certain things to get to God. But in Christianity, God came down to us. He came down to us in Jesus Christ, and he died for us, and he rose again for us. No other God has done that. No other God can do that, because simply put, there is no other God. And so we need to get this message out. We have to let people know days are drawing short, not only in the fact that Jesus is coming back. Why do I know that's a fact? Because it's in the scripture, and because he fulfilled over 300 Old Testament messianic prophecies. So he's going to fulfill, there's about 2% left, and he fulfilled 98% of it. He's going to fulfill the rest of it. I have no doubt about that. And it's in scripture. And so he's going to come back, and we don't know when. I believe it's going to be soon, but I can't tell you when. And soon could be today. It could be 50 years from now. I don't know. But the thing is, I know that while I'm here on earth, I'm to bring glory to the Father, and all believers are to bring glory to the Father. And one way we do that is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And we don't know our length of time, how much time we have left on earth. I'm 57 years old now. I don't know how in the world time passed so fast, but it did. I don't know if I have another day left or if I have 30 years left, like my mom lived to be 87. My dad lived to be 63, so I don't know how much time's left. Only God knows. So I want to spend that time living for him and telling others about him, and we need to do that. And you don't have to be a pastor or be in a ministry to do that. Life is a ministry. Our life should be a ministry. The Great Commission is a lifestyle in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've taught you, and I'm with you always to the end of the age. That promise is so awesome. He is with us. How can we do it? Because he is with us. Jesus is with us. And he also tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So as we give our lives to Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes in us and gives us that power. We have the indwelling power of Almighty God living in us, and he gives us that power to be witnesses. The translation of that word witnesses is martyr. And so he gives us that kind of power. Then in the face of the worst persecution possible, we can still be his witnesses. So we have no excuse. We need to share Jesus with others. And if you're listening this morning and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Call on the name of Jesus. We read in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, I'm a whosoever, you're a whosoever. Whosoever believes, John 3:16, shall not perish but have eternal life. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Surrender. surrender to his lordship and ask him to save you. And he will. He will. He meets you right where you're at. You don't have to understand everything. Let me tell you, I don't understand everything in the Bible because it's the Word of God. He's been teaching me a lot over the years, and I'm growing in knowledge, and I pray to continue and always grow in the knowledge of my Father, of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But don't wait till you understand everything, because you never will. Don't wait until you get your life right, because there's only one way to get your life right, and that's turning it over to Jesus. I learned that back in 1989. When I turned my life over to Jesus, I couldn't get my life right. Only he could, and he did. And, hey, I'm not perfect. But you know what? Day by day, he sanctifies me, and he wants to do the same for you. He loves you so much. I encourage you today, just talk to him, just like you're talking to your friend. Just talk to him, and then ask him to forgive you, and ask him to come into your life and to be your Savior and Lord. The Word of God in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So do that. Confess him. Confess Jesus as Lord, as your Lord. And just believe in your heart, that's believing with all that's within you, that he rose from that grave. He died and he rose again, and he will save you. And I encourage you from that point, tell a believer about your decision, somebody you can talk to and who can tell you more. And if you don't know anybody, reach out to me here at Love in Action. You can call the office at 334-494-4995. Now, you're going to get a voicemail because I'm not there right now. But when you leave voicemails, I'll return your phone call. Or you can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com. And I would love to talk with you. I'd love to share with you, give you some next steps. And that's the thing. We give our lives to him, and then we take the next step. What's the next step? Well, baptism is a very important step. It doesn't save you, but it's an important step to take because Jesus tells us to be baptized. And then to just learn his word. We call that discipleship. That's training. That's becoming a student of Jesus. And that's why it's important to be involved in a life-giving church, a church that's discipling people who attend there. And we have a school of discipleship here at Love in Action as well. And many people have gone through it and have grown in the Word of God. And their lives, they're growing closer to Jesus. And their walk with Jesus is getting better and better. And would love to tell you more about that too. And that's also on our website at loveinactionministries.com. You can check it out there. But I just can't encourage you enough to share Jesus with people. And if you don't know Jesus, turn your life over to him. And then I want to end with this scripture right here, verse 13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Wow. They recognized that these two men had been with Jesus. They weren't educated. They weren't trained, but they had been with Jesus. So as a believer, can people look at us, listen to us, and tell that we've been with Jesus? Can they tell that we are a follower of Jesus Christ? They should be able to. They should be able to tell that we're different. Our language is different. Not all the churchese stuff, but they don't hear the cursings. They don't hear the gossips. They just hear uplifting, encouragement. And yeah, they do hear us talk about Jesus and our lifestyles. How's our temper? How do we handle situations? Are we people of faith? We should be different as a believer. The Bible tells us that. When I read that scripture, that challenges me. Can people look at me and see that I've been with Jesus, that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? We need to all ask ourselves that question. And let's go out there and let's live for Jesus. And as we go through this week, let's live for him. Tell others about him and let people know this good news, the gospel, that Jesus was born, died, rose again, and he's coming back. And he wants to give all of us eternal life. We just need to call out upon his name, repent of our sins, which means that's a turning. We turn from our sinful ways and we turn to him. And so I just can't encourage you enough to give your life to Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. And for believers, let people know about him and let them see Jesus in each one of us. We are out of time. I just want to say thank you again for joining me this morning. And I just pray that as you go through this week, you know that Jesus loves you so much. And I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.